Resolution before you indicates we count on quality public involvement as a way to ensure that decisions will more effectively respond to the needs and the actual priorities of the community, that it provides a way to engage community resources and community members as part of the solution. It provides ways to involve the full diversity of our community in ways we have perhaps not been able to do as effectively in the past. It increases public understanding of and support for public policies and programs. And finally, it increases the legitimacy and accountability of government actions. And we hope that these principles can provide a roadmap to guide government officials and city staff in establishing consistent, effective, and high-quality public involvement. These principles spell out what the public can expect from city government while at the same time retaining flexibility in the way that the bureaus conduct their work. I want to say a little bit more because, as Allison indicated, our process was extensive in bringing these principles together. So I'd like to say a little bit about that. We began, and we have the fat vinyl notebook to prove it, we began by looking at previous reports from task forces and other groups within the city of Portland on this topic. We looked at bureaus that have existing public involvement principles and policies such as PDC and parks. We looked at models from cities around the country. We went internationally and looked at Brighton and Hove City Council in the United Kingdom, Commissioner Fritz. And we looked at Guelph, Ontario, and Vancouver, BC, from our neighbor to the north. And as Allison indicated, we looked at respected public participation organizations, such as the International Association of Public Participation and the National Coalition of Deliberation and Dialogue. And from this material, one of our very valuable interns created a matrix that identified the themes that stretch across this body of work. And from that, we created our draft set of principles. So we were determined not to reinvent the wheel. In the spirit of good involvement, we took this draft on the road, so to speak, presenting it to the full Bureau Directors meeting last December. We met with 9 individual Bureau Directors over the last year. We met twice with each commissioner's office and the mayor's office. We met with the ONI Bureau Advisory Committee, the Neighborhood Coalition Directors and Chairs, the Diversity and Civic Leadership Program Partners, the Citywide Land Use Group. The International Association for Public Participation was having a meeting here in Portland, and so we presented to them as well. And we had an online survey so that members of the general public could also comment. As a result of that, we have some sort of key characteristics of these principles. The first being that they're definitely not a cookie cutter. We don't expect one size to fit all. They're more like the umbrella constitution that will guide our work. And because of this, they're not necessarily measurable in the usual sense. And it seems that measures might need to be created within a bureau or for certain types of projects. But we did not try to come up with quantifiable measures for each principle at this point. And that leads me to the indicators and outcomes portion of the principles. City staff told us clearly that abstract ideas are not good enough. They need to know what it actually looks like, how to do it successfully. And so the matrix illustrates the things that one can look for in a public involvement process that is in keeping with the principles, and also look for the likely outcomes that would proceed from these efforts. The principles themselves, there are 7 of them. I'm not going to read them to you since they're in your packet, but I do want to emphasize kind of some key elements of them. Under the first one, partnership, we stress the idea of feedback on input. Citizens often come excitedly to tell you what they think, but when they have no way of knowing what is done with that information, it's often frustrating. So obviously a cornerstone of partnership is to let people know what you're doing with their information. Early involvement, interestingly enough, was the top of the list on the online survey in terms of a principle that people were concerned about. This speaks to the need for people to be involved in problem definition or in the identification of a potential opportunity. Building relationships and community capacity. This is one of my favorites, that we always end up leaving the community stronger, better informed, and better able to participate next time as a result of them having been involved in one of our processes. Inclusiveness and equity. We're obviously focusing a great deal of attention on that in the Portland plan. So that's providing an opportunity for staff and citizens alike to think about how we do this better so that we all can become more skilled at recognizing the impacts the benefits and costs that accompany various kinds of city proposals. Good quality process design and implementation. Under that one, we want to stress the need to accommodate changes in our processes. Even though you've got a perfectly designed process when you go out the door, things happen. And you, of all people, know that very well. So we want to stress that a good process allows that kind of change and evolution to happen as an effort goes forward. Transparency, obviously people need access to information, but they need access to information that they can understand. And it's a complex society we're living in. We need to find ways to make the information that we're giving people available in a timely way and in a way they can understand. Accountability, that's what we're all signing on for if we adopt these principles, that we're going to see that good public involvement goes forward. And these will replace the 1996 principles that were adopted. These needed to be updated and to reflect recent advances, new thinking, changes in technology. And this will form the foundation for all the future work of the PIAC, and Marty will present that to you shortly. I just want to end by saying that the approach we're using is to try to create a shared culture of learning here within the city so that we identify what works, we share that information, we support each other's efforts. We're not planning to be the public involvement police. We're not advocating more process, but better process. And we offer these principles as a resource for city staff to help them in thinking through their plans and processes. The indicators provide examples of what they can expect, what they might work toward. So with that, I'll turn it over to Marty.
Thanks, Linda.
Marty, I apologize. Could we take a pause so that we can let our federal representatives speak, and then we'll come back to this item right away? We won't move to hearing the entire item, Resolution 1108. We'll just take a pause to allow them the courtesy of testifying on 1108. So I do apologize that our schedule's kind of kerfluffled. So we'll have you back. Unless there's objection, I'll suspend the rules to allow for comments from members, representatives and a member of our federal delegation regarding Resolution 1108. Could you please read the title, just the title for Resolution 1108?
Commit contingently to pursuing mutually agreeable joint partnership for the Oregon Sustainability Center with the Oregon University System and direct the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and Portland Development Commission staff to initiate schematic design for this purpose.
If the City Council would join me in welcoming the Honorable Congressman David Wu and Representative Loretta Smith from Senator Ron Wyden's office, and Janelle Bell. Janelle Bell from Senator Merkley's office, please come forward. Come on in. Welcome. In addition to the courtesies of the chamber extended to electeds and their representatives on items before the City Council, and the fact that Congressman Wu, thank you for being here today, has been a stalwart champion of all efforts on our part that are green and sustainable, whether that's getting the EPA to recognize the actual value of green streets or sustainability innovations that we have pushed originally here in Portland. I want to thank you, Congressman Wu, for that. And it is also a momentous day because every member of the delegation turned in a request to earmark federal support for the Oregon Sustainability Center, which is the topic.
That's a member-directed project.
Yes, exactly. So they have made, every member of the delegation is helping to make this happen. And we have news that indeed we did get an earmark. And in an era when earmarks are really hard to come by. Thank you, all of you. Really appreciate that very much. So Congressman Wu, and then we'd love to hear from Loretta and Janelle. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mayor, members of the City Council. In turn, I'd like to welcome you all to the 1st Congressional District.
Oh, good.
I think that the Congressional District and the city have coexisted and worked very well together on this place for the last 150 plus years. And what this hearing is all about is the next 150 years. That is truly what is at stake, because all through American history and the 150 years that Portland and the First Congressional District have been here, the history of America, the history of our economy, is the history of innovation. The economists tell us that about 90% of U.S. economic growth is due to innovation, not more resources, not more people, not more labor, but the way in which we put that labor, the materials together to make new products, new services, and create new high-wage jobs. Economists say that since World War II, 50% or more of American economic growth is because of innovation. What I call the triple net building, net zero for energy, for water use, and for carbon emissions, what I call the net zero building is about the next period of American competitiveness and innovation. Portland can become the international leader in efficient green energy, and it is fitting that we will build the first large-scale urban triple net zero building in the world. We can lead the world in energy innovation and energy efficiency. The short-term benefit are construction jobs. The long-term benefit is leading the nation, leading the world, and long-term jobs. Not only will this center be the first high-density urban building to achieve this goal, it will serve as a living laboratory for the research, development, and the launch of new energy solutions as a focal point. The center will serve as a focal point for people, ideas, and education focused on green and sustainable green green energy and energy efficiency. We know that putting the right people in the right place leads to innovation. This triple net center will bring together a diverse group of collaborators from academic institutions, the private sector, nonprofits, and the government focused on green energy and energy efficiency solutions, all of them housed under one roof. And indeed, this collaboration, I think we need a better word, since we're talking in new age terms about sustainability, we might as well use the word synergy, eh? What the mechanisms we will work on are things like solar cells and integrated water collection and filtration systems. And this type of technology clustering will in turn lead to an economic cluster that is a new model for this kind of development for like-minded businesses from around the country and indeed around the globe. The project will generate thousands of new jobs, starting with the design and construction phase. Mayor Adams, you probably well remember that I have been involved with you and others to bring the Federal Department of Energy's Regional Innovation Cluster Program on energy-efficient buildings to Portland. The Triple Net Center is completely in sync with this complementary project and will accelerate innovation in this growing sector of our regional and national economy. In fact, I hope that this ERIC project will become a major tenant in the triple net building. Personally, my three top priorities are innovation, jobs, and education, and this is a model project which combines all three, and that is why that I will continue to work with our House and Senate delegation to fund this important innovation project. And if we are successful with this first phase, I believe that the city, that the Oregon higher education system, and the federal government will be roughly equal partners in funding this development phase. I want to close with a baseball story, I guess. There have been a lot of concerns about the cost of the Capitol Visitor Center in Washington, D.C., a lot of money was spent on that. I probably wouldn't have voted for it, but for the fact that the Capitol Police said that was what it took to make their job safer and to secure the Capitol complex. It was a lot of money, but I was sitting with my kids at a baseball game last summer and just looking around, I reflected on the stadium and thought, interesting. This stadium cost about the same as the United States Capitol Visitor Center. But long after the baseball stadium is metaphorically on the junk heap of history and literally in the junk heap of a junkyard somewhere, the Capitol's Visitor Center will continue to welcome Americans and people from around the world to the United States Capitol building. It is a sound federal investment. For this triple net building, this is a heavy investment. It's a heavy lift. But it is an investment in our future. You should cap the cost. But it is an investment not only in today, but for tomorrow. You know, in what you and I do, we are always looking to the next budget, maybe to the next election. Our forebears did great things in looking to the horizon, indeed in looking over the horizon, and that is why the city of Portland, the state of Oregon, and the first congressional district have thrived in this corner of Oregon for the last 150 years. I ask you to commit yourselves to making this investment to the future, to have the courage of our forebears, to look over the horizon, make us proud, do the right thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Congressman, and the personal interest and advocacy that you've taken in this is much, much appreciated, and a lot of that happens sort of out of the view vista of Portlanders and the Portland City Council, but I just wanted to thank you for your personal passion and work on this.
Loretta?
Good morning. I'm Loretta Smith with Senator Wyden's office, and I just want to come here and thank you, Mayor and City Council, for your leadership in making this project a priority. Your commitment and your dedication to sustainability is what we need here in Portland and in Oregon, and I just want to say kudos to all of you from Senator Wyden.
And please thank him for his great work on this as well.
Right. Mayor, City Council, my name is John L. Bell, and I have the pleasure of representing U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley here in Multnomah County. I do have a prepared remarks, as is the case with most junior senators. I would not be representing well if I didn't have longer remarks. But I am here today on behalf of Senator Merkley to offer his support of the Oregon Sustainability Center and talk about the impact of this program and project, and how it will have an impact on the city of Portland and the future of clean energy industries here in Oregon for a long time to come. Portland has long been the green building industry leader for the nation, from the brewery blocks in the Pearl District to the city's honor of the most LEED certified buildings per capita. Portland is a leader in green building. I think we all know that to be true. However, technology doesn't stand still. In order to cement our reputation and demonstrate to the world the future of energy efficiency and green building, we must continue to evolve. Oregon continues to do that, as evidenced in the Clean Energy Works project that started in Portland and is now in the process of becoming a statewide program. And Oregon has continued to do that over and over with a number of acquisitions of local Oregon sustainability jobs. Senator Merkley has spent much of his time talking about how to transform our nation's energy policy to create a million jobs by deploying clean energy and energy efficiency technologies to end our nation's dependence on overseas oil over the next 20 years, and to put our planet on a path toward curbing global warming. Increasing the energy efficiencies of buildings is a key step towards all three of these goals, and the concept of the Oregon Sustainability Center, with its zero energy impact and live in laboratory commitment, further the senator's commitments and his visions. At the core of Senator Merkley's energy plans is the notion that by reforming our energy system to build a new clean energy economy, we can reinvigorate our economy across the board as we build new industries where the intellectual capital and the manufacturing are both homegrown. The building our ongoing operations of the Oregon Sustainability Center will demonstrate the potential of these homegrown American clean energy jobs. When Senator Merkley visited Portland State University a couple of months ago, he was extremely impressed with the collaboration of the university, the city, and Oregon business educating and training the student innovators of tomorrow. Blending the building sciences, architecture, and engineering to develop the new materials and practices to build and manage buildings more efficiently creates the tools we'll need to really drive a new green economy. Senator Merkley was an early supporter of the Oregon Sustainability Center concept and has continued to promote the efforts to create a net zero building in the heart of Portland. Further support of this project is reflected in last week's announcement that the Oregon Sustainability Center was awarded $300,000 in appropriations bill of the Senate Energy and Water Subcommittee, a project that Senator Merkley strongly advocated for in committee and will do so in the Senate on the Senate floor. The funding would be targeted to help construct the water systems of the center, including integrating the technologies necessary for the center to attain net zero water performance. Although this funding, and as we know in this climate, still needs to clear several hurdles to become a reality, it brings the center one step closer to fruition. So in closing, Senator Merkley remains committed to the Oregon Sustainability Center and looks forward to continuing to partner with the City of Portland on the development of the center and to further the establishment of Portland as a hub of the nation's transition to a clean energy future. So thank you for your leadership on this. And once again, Senator would like to offer his support.
Thanks to the Senator as well for his great advocacy on this project. All of you, thank you. We know you're incredibly busy. Congressman, thank you for spending time with us. Appreciate it. We will now go back to our regularly scheduled program, which is Marty just about to provide us with an overview. And we are back on item number 1106 and 1107. Thank you, and apologize for the interruption.
I'm very patient. So I just want to continue on where we had left off. So Allison had started with the introduction, and Linda introduced the principles that PIAAC is presenting to you today. My name is Marty Stockton, and I represent the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability on PIAAC. I have been formally serving on PIAAC since February of this year, and see much value in PIAAC's role to provide support to city bureaus with implementation of public involvement best practices and guidelines. We are asking you to direct us to create two products today. The first is a public involvement impact statement, or as the mayor suggested yesterday, it is now known as the public involvement report. This is something that the bureaus prepare and include with all ordinances, resolutions, and reports that come before you. The second product is a baseline public involvement assessment that PIAAC would use to establish basic information on bureau public involvement policies and procedures across city bureaus. We have prepared initial drafts of both of these products to give you an idea of what we're talking about, and you have those in your handout. We have already gotten many good suggestions from Bureau and City Council staffers on these products, and we will continue to work further with bureaus and commissioners, mayor's offices to further improve these products before they are finalized. A description of the public involvement report, again, it would be included with all ordinances, resolutions, and reports that come before you. The intent of the public involvement report is to raise awareness and focus attention of city staff on public involvement as an important element in policymaking. And additionally, it would create a stream of data that PIAAC can use for research. Public involvement report is essentially modeled from the financial impact statements that Commissioner Salzman, Commissioner Fish, and Mayor Adams' bureaus have used. This report would ask, who is in charge of public involvement on a project? Versus the general project manager, list what public involvement is ahead, list what public involvement has been completed. When we met with Susan Anderson, director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, she suggested to make sure that the public involvement report is not too tedious of a process to fill out, but also it is not just a check the box. It should tell the story of public involvement. If possible, this report could be filled out and submitted online so that an electronic database is established. A description of the second product that we bring to you today is of the baseline assessment, which is essentially a questionnaire that PIAAC would use to establish basic information on Bureau public involvement policies and procedures across city bureaus. The Customer Service Advisory Committee also established a similar baseline on customer service for bureaus and offices. And I have to say, as a former staff of Bureau of Development Services, Bureau of Development Services really created exemplary customer service as a response to the baseline. Questions in the baseline assessment will range from whether the Bureau has a written public involvement policy or strategy to specifically asking what avenues or tools, for example, in online comment forms, meetings, surveys, social media, et cetera, are being used for engagement. We'd like to stress that establishing this baseline is not meant to be a lot of work or require an extensive effort. PIAAC's goal is to collect this information across the board in 1 year. In-depth reviews of three bureaus each year would follow after the first year. We'd plan to work with a few bureaus each year to conduct a more in-depth review. Some examples of other PIAAC efforts would be these in-depth reviews, as I mentioned. To pilot this effort, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, along with two other city bureaus, would develop its own public involvement plan, which would include the basic structure. What do we do? Who do we engage? And what strategies do we implement? Some other products that we would like to bring back to a city council in the future are we would like to create an equity handbook. This would be a guide for public involvement staff to effectively work with community-based organizations. Additionally, we would like to bring forward recommendations for public involvement for the Bureau's budget advisory committees. So in closing, As Allison said, we thank you for this opportunity to bring forward the good work of PIAAC before you, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have for us.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. Commissioner Fritz, was there another panel?
I think that's it. Do you have anybody signed up?
We do. We have one person, Terry Parker.
Okay. Thank you very much for your service.
Thank you.
Morning. Just give us your name and okay. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Terry Parker, a lifetime Portlander. For several months now, I've been considering addressing the City Council on the subject of public involvement, including the citizen advisory process. Now, with an item on the agenda to establish principles to guide public involvement, I thought it the right time to do so. Currently, the public process is broken. To coin the phrase that came about a couple of decades back, round up the usual suspects. Another Citizens Advisory Committee needs to be formed. Unfortunately, the system still operates in somewhat that same manner. Some of the same individuals serve on multiple citizen boards, commissions, and committees. Examples include the same person or persons serving on the Planning Commission, the City's Budget Committee, various city transportation committees and/or boards, and also on citizen committees at Metro. The process has, for the most part, become a stacked deck and one of cronyism, often representing a special interest with members handpicked and vetted based on subject opinion and insider connections rather than knowledge, background, interest, or a willingness to serve. Today's appointments of 7 members to the Public Involvement Advisory Council will to some degree test that premise. Will the appointees be the usual suspects or individuals that serve on no other city-level citizen board, commission, or committee? Moreover, is the primary reason to create a combined planning sustainability commission the unveiling of yet another stacked deck of cronyism that eliminates appointees whom don't fall in line as yes people to the social engineering agenda? Additionally, much of the citizen outreach is both biased and broken. This best can be described with the Bicycle Master Plan, where the citizen involvement numbers were highly touted. but the vast majority of the participation was from the freeloading special interest bicycle community, wholly disproportionate of road users in general. In other words, the majority of average Portlanders who drive and pay gas taxes to fund projects had no involvement in the process. Equity was and is totally missing. To fix what is broken, more openness is needed within the citizen process. That includes not only all aspects of diversity, ethnic, income level, background, age, and gender, but also a diversity of opinions whereby the differing views and values of all Portlanders are fully represented. In addition to approving outreach that aspires to include the general public rather than just being aimed at a special interest, I have three recommendations to create a more diverse and equitable public involvement process. First, establish a policy whereby an individual cannot serve on more than one city-level citizen board, commission, or advisory committee. Second, and again, this can better be described by example using PBOT, establish guideline principles where all transport modes are specifically represented on transportation-related citizen boards and commissions, especially advisory committees, based on actual mode split, along with a heavy emphasis on representation from the user stakeholders that will foot the bill, but not to exclude ample business interests and neighborhood representation. My third recommendation is to revise the appointment process in a manner that eliminates any vetting or litmus testing of opinion related to appointments. If implemented, all three recommendations will provide not only for a more open and diverse public involvement process, but one that better represents the entirety of citizens and taxpayers in Portland. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Anyone else wish to testify? Out of curiosity to that last point, how many people rode their bike to City Hall today? How many people use transit? How many people drove their car today? Okay. I think we're pretty representative on the transportation front. So we move to vote.
Yes, although I would like to ask the members of the Public Involvement Advisory Council to please stand. Thank you so much for all of your work and for sitting with us through this long morning of meetings, and thank you for all the interests that you represent.
Thank you very much. Give them a round of applause. Carla, would you please call the vote?
On 1106, Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank the Public Involvement Advisory Committee for your long, hard work here and presenting us with some templates for how we will include public involvement reports and all things that come before council, and also for preparing a baseline about how all of our bureaus are doing and whether we're striving to be, well, I guess consistent isn't the key, but I guess we're striving to be as transparent as possible and to make sure that we've included the public at all crucial points in policy making. And as everybody on this committee knows, a lot of policy making goes on outside of these chambers and in the many, many citizens committees who work very hard and work with us to help craft successful policies and ordinances. So thank you, and this is a great step. I also want to recognize Commissioner Fritz for her leadership in this effort as well and her enthusiasm for this subject, and I think we're going to be better served as a result of adopting your recommendations, and I certainly pledge continued cooperation and leadership from the bureaus that I oversee. So thank you, and pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
I appreciate all of your good work. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you very much. This is a huge body of work which builds on the previous work. So there are some of you who are new to the process, and there are some who have been dedicating seems like your entire lives to this for a long time, and both are valued, both are needed in our citizen involvement system. I'm very pleased with the proposal to have a standard reporting form that every time something comes to council, that there would be questions asked about what was the public involvement and how was the proposal modified in response to it. Because we not only want to hear the citizen input, we want to make sure that we respond to it and that our the way forward is improved by citizen input. And the draft forms in the packet will be revised, and we'll have some modifications for some of the things that don't require as much citizen input, such as some contracts and legal things where the public hearing is, in fact, the public process. So thank you very much for all of your work. Thank you, the staff. Thank you, Amala Alcandamaris from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement Director. As I said, it's not ONI's committee, but we are very happy to staff it. And thank you to Dora Perry and Tim Crail on my staff, who have been very involved in this. Aye.
Fish.
I had the pleasure this morning of meeting with the Parks Board, that is a citizen advisory group that guides decision-making in parks. They do not shy away from offering strong opinions on things that we do. And as a result, we do a better job of managing our park system. And we're grateful for their service. And this is the next evolution of a more formal way that we tap the talent and the voices in our community. I want to also add my thanks to Commissioner Fritz, who has been the champion on this issue, and Amalia, her partner in crime. And I also want to just acknowledge the three people who testified earlier. Linda Nedokovin, who is just tireless. I see Linda more than I see my wife. He changed that. I don't want Larry to get the wrong idea. But to Marty.
I think Ty's house is still available.
You mean his accessory dwelling unit?
But there's more. I actually see Marty about as frequently as I see my wife, because Marty's my next door neighbor, at least for now. And Marty Mayer is the person represents. Marty, would you please come back?
At least for now.
Marty, would you come back? We have some additional questions.
You finally talked yourself into a hole.
And she is, of course, signed a confidentiality agreement. But, Mayor, she represents you very well and the planning department, because she's one of your public faces of the Portland plan and really does a marvelous job. And to the young woman from Franklin, is it Alyssa?
Allison High School.
Excuse me. I got both wrong. Okay.
Started with an A.
Well, Allison, when you get to my age, this happens with greater frequency. But we started the day honoring some young people who are high school seniors who play Is there a medic here that could treat Commissioner Leonard? I think we have an emergency here. Commissioner Leonard, if you could compose yourself for a moment.
All right. We will come back to order.
Regular order, Mayor. We had some champion soccer players here today from Eastside. High school seniors, all freshmen in the fall, and representing us in places like USC and across the West Coast. We hear from young people a lot. We very rarely hear from someone who is as composed and as articulate as you are. So we're proud of you, and USC is fortunate to have you in their fold. So thank you all for your good work. And again, Amanda Fritz, thank you for your leadership on this point. Aye.
Adams.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your fantastic work on this important endeavor. In addition to setting up an avenue of consistent education on this issue across the ever-changing city positions and leadership and project managers, and allowing for a higher, more consistent level, higher quality, more consistent level of public outreach, your efforts, when implemented, will also improve the kind of accountability for the kinds of changes that we need. And I would add, I would put out there, as you move to sort of implementation, add sort of what I hope to learn in the Portland plan, where we ask the simple demographic survey up front anonymously with the clickers. And there was a lot of debate with me when I said I wanted to do that but among some folks, because they were worried about what it would show. And what it showed was a largely white middle-class audience in the first round of the Portland plan showed up. But it was the basic same kind of demographic that shows up at most meetings for most issues. It's just we knew the facts of who was in the room and who was not in the room. And that allowed us on that very important project to then go out and do the outreach until we get closer to ethnic, geographic, and other kinds of parity, so that our input efforts truly represent the profile that is Portland. And as you move forward, I would ask, because we have so much work to do on parity and equality, on a number of factors, but especially on race, ethnicity, and geography, I would ask that you figure out a way to make it as easy and ubiquitous as possible for every outreach effort to collect that kind of information, because it will force us to continue the outreach, and that outreach will make folks that traditionally have not been involved in city sort of decision-making, the famous meeting that inevitably happens as part of our outreach, it will force us to get the kind of inclusionary input we need. And in the process of doing that, making historically disenfranchised Portlanders feel more welcome. So it creates a virtuous cycle. And your work sets this up for us to accomplish that. And I want to thank you for that very much. And again, FIFA as well, thank you. And back here, fantastic asset for the city. And again, Commissioner Fritz, thanks for your leadership. Bye. Can you please call the vote for 1107?
Saltzman?
Well, welcome to the official PIAAC, new members. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
This is appointing the new members, and I do just want to read their names because it's a huge amount of work, and I really appreciate it. Teresa Baldwin, Kelly Ball, Robert Boy, Beth Kay, William Miller, Paige Prendergast, and Sally Stevens. And also to note that anybody who's interested in being on any City of Portland boards and commissions, we have many openings on many of those. Go to the Office of Neighborhood Involvement website, and it's very easy to apply, and we're more than happy to have you on board. Aye.
Fish?
Welcome and congratulations. Aye.
Adams?
Thanks. Aye. Is approved. We're going to take a 3-minute break so we can switch seats. The next group of presenters can come up and take the seats closer up, and those of you that need to leave can do so. Hey, thanks.